Yes.
It's
Recognized that they can, it's just, yeah, just thank you, Brian, for that.
Right. And where's he from?
He's from Uganda. Sandra is from Louisiana.
He's from Uganda? Gotcha.
But he's, I mean, he's an American.
Yeah, that's just a beautiful name. I'll just try to figure out.
Yeah. He's still got family there, but he's been here more years than he has.
In about 10 seconds. It just pulls.
That's a lot.
Y'all got a treat for y'all got to hear this song, man. Y'all got to hear this.
That? That is Nova, and that is absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much for that. Thank you. This is Nova Browder. I want to tell you a quick story about her. As you know, James has taken a few more weeks sabbatical, and love James. Talked to him yesterday, and he's doing real well. So I went to look and say, who can we get to sing? And so I called a friend of mine. I said, who is over at Renaissance at Bethel that you know who could help us sing? Our Bethel is our university over in McKenzie. And they gave me Nova's name. And so we texted back and forth, worked it out, and then I texted Mom. And I was like, do you know a woman named Nova at Bethel? And she's like, oh my gosh, yes, you're going to absolutely love her. Proven right already. Thank you so much for that. She'll be here this week and next week too, right?
Yes, sir.
Singing with us. So thank you so much, Nova, for being a part of the worship service. A few other announcements as we get started. The first is the Angel Tree packs, the goodie packs, I don't know what to call them, are made. You see pictures up there, all the stuff that has gone in them. We'll be giving those out to our homeless friends at the end of the year at Christmas for their Christmas bags. And thank you, Jackie and several others, I believe, for putting those together yesterday, right?
Friday.
Yeah, Friday. I don't know what day it is anymore. Yeah. Friday. Oh, yeah, it says on the screen. I'll probably read that. That is fantastic, and we appreciate doing so much. The other thing, by the way, that Outreach is working on, and keep this in mind, it looks like maybe October 31st, maybe the next weekend, we're going to team up again with Nolensville Food Pantry and do a huge Nolensville food drive to try to get a lot of food for them for the food pantry. So know that that's coming. There's going to be more information about it. Right now, we think it's October 31st. Could be the next weekend, but keep that in mind as well. Exactly. The whole community will be participating in this to bring food probably to the old, the whole historic building, probably taking it to that That's coming up and will be coming soon. The other thing, and that's kind of where this came out of, was how can we serve? If you had a service to do, if you had something that you just wanted to do in the church or you felt led to do, what would it be? I would love to know that answer, or one of the elders would love to know that answer, because we're looking for ways to serve in the community, and we know that you got better ideas than anybody else. So if you've got one of those ideas, if you've got something that starts percolating, you start thinking about it, let somebody know, and so we can talk about it so that we can be a part of that. Because I think that would be fantastic for us to continue serving as we have been recently. What else we got going on? Emery's here, y'all. What up, Emery? We missed you so much. How you doing? Yeah, Emery, by the way, is living in Wes's old room. She texted me like, I don't know, a month ago or two, and she takes a picture off the front porch of her old house and she in the manse in Springfield, and she says, this looks familiar. And I was like, yeah, that's our old house. And so a friend of hers was hired at that church and moved in, and so she moved in, into Wes's old room, and Wes's response was, that's kind of weird. So anyway, good to have you, Emery. And your friend is? Matt, nice to meet you, brother, very much. Thanks for being here. Are there any other announcements going on? Anything else we need to talk about? If not, then would you please rise for our call to worship? It comes from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 5. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Again, I will say that rejoice.
Let your gentleness be known to everyone.
For the Lord is near.
Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we know that you are near to us. We recognize it. We feel it. We know it. We see you in the world. We see your people in the world. We recognize your nearness to us, our nearness to you. We thank you, God, that you are here with us, that we're not left alone in all this, but that we are in this with you and with others. And so we ask, God, that you just show us how to be. Just lead us in how to be in this world. We want to be people that believe in you and have faith in you and act out of how you would call us to live. And so we just ask that you lead us in those ways. Allow the Holy Spirit to move us and guide us so that we walk in the right paths no matter what. Lord, we desperately just want to fall in line with how you created this all to be. And so, Lord, in this day, we just ask for blessings then. We ask for strength and we ask for courage. And allow us to worship you, to lift up your name, to not worry about what happens when we worship you. Don't worry about if we say amen, somebody looks over and wonders why we just did that. Lord, we just ask that you embolden us to worship you. Show us what it means to lift up your name in glory. We ask you these things, Lord, because we want to worship you. We desire to worship you because we do worship you. Lord, thank you for this day. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I want to give you a little heads up about why we're not singing, and a thanks for wearing your masks like you do. McKenzie Church has their pastor out, their previous pastor out, right? And Brother Tony is also out, and about 15 to 20 members of their church are out, including, by the way, my mother and my grandmother. We'll talk about that later. And so we recognize that not talking out and speaking out is a little challenging as part of worship. But thank you for now for doing it this way. And thank you, musicians, for allowing us to worship through you guys. Thanks so much.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, alone.
For those online, normally we have a time where we do prayer requests right now, but we're going to push that to the end of the service for a while and have a time of prayer for the people at the end of the service. So if you have those now, start putting those online on Facebook, on YouTube, wherever you're watching, and we'll make sure at the end of the service that we'll bring those forward and pray for those as well. So wanted to talk about we had done a lot of talking about offering and tithes recently. We kind of tied it in with some other things. I want to remind everybody there's three ways that you continue tithing to the church. You can find those online. You can do online. There's a box in the back if you still want to put checks or whatever in. And the third way, I don't remember. Oh, through a text message. You can find those online and to do that. But I want to talk a little bit about why we do that sort of thing, especially in the time that we're in now. And I was thinking about kind of what is this church that we talk about. And I came up with several things. This is very short. I just want to say this. It's a place of worship. There's a place. It's old as old can be that people gather together, come into a place and worship God. That's as ancient can be. And that's what this place is a tradition of. Now we do it with technology as well, which is so odd. But we can, and we gather in this place, and we worship God, and we lift up the name of God, because God's worthy of worship. Amen. Oh, come on, we got to do a little bit better than that. Amen. God's worthy of worship. Yes, ma'am. So that's one of the reasons. Another thing is this is a place where we serve in the community, right? And we've done it a lot recently. I thank God for it. But this is we take care of this place, and we have a church, so a place that we can, as a community, serve and share Christ and those sorts of things. It's a sense of community for us, right? We come together. We know people here. We sit not as close as we used to sit beside each other, but we still sit beside each other and talk and laugh and know each other's problems and lift each other up. And so that's a reason for this place. And I guess what I mean is it's a place of faith. This is where we come together. We live our faith in the world, but we also gather in this place to learn about it and talk about it and be members of the faith. And so I just wanted to thank everybody who has been continuing to contribute to the church, to allow it to continue to be a thing. Thank you so much, because we recognize the church is a powerful instrument in the world when we do it right. And so I thank you all for continuing that mission. I would, again, ask you all to do so by going online. You can find all the information there about how to give. But I'd just like to go to God in prayer and thanks for the church. Let's join in prayer again, please. Lord, I thank you for this place and for all the places that are meeting today. We recognize, Lord, that the church is ancient. It is as old, I guess, as the tabernacle or even the altars before that. We come in a long tradition of people who gather together to lift up your name because you're worthy of praise. And so thank you, God, for this place. We thank you for the gifts that we can contribute to this place, our talents, everything that you have given us. Lord, we know that we can give it through the church, and we can provide the world with the good news of Jesus Christ through action, through words, through whatever. So we thank you, God, for this place, and we thank you for those things you gave us that allow it to make it be a reality. So, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this place. Thank you for our gifts. Thank you for life itself. And all of God's people said, amen. I want to read today again from Exodus. It's Exodus 32 this week. And they'd already come out of Egypt at this time. They had been going through the desert and ended up at the mountain. And Moses had gone up onto the mountain to get the law. That's where we are in the Exodus story. So I'll read from Exodus 32, 1 through 8. Familiar scripture, the golden calf scripture. It reads like this. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us, who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. Aaron said to them, take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took off the gold rings from the ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, formed it into a mold, and cast an image of a calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord. They rose early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought sacrifices of well-being. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to revel. The Lord said to Moses, go down at once, your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt. You have acted perversely, and they have been quick to turn aside from the way I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. I've said this before, but I think it's worth saying. I believe, or I choose to believe, or I'm led to believe, I don't know, but that most people are doing the best that they know how. Most people are just doing the best they know how and living a life like they ought to live, trying to do good in the world, pleasing in the sight of the Lord, whatever it is. Most people, I believe, are doing the best they know how, and I, for one, am tremendously thankful for that. I'm thankful. I thank God today that we do search to find God, that we try to find God, that we're always looking for God. We do want to do great things for the Lord and great things for each other, and I thank God for that. We do love each other. Amen. Let me say it like this. If I ask you to tell a story where great love has been shown between two people or two groups, you could tell me, couldn't you? You have a story of that. You have seen at some point fantastic acts of love. You've seen wonderful acts of grace. You've got a story about grace. You have a story about mercy. Do you have a story of where someone really lifted somebody else up? Yes, you do. We have those stories. We know those moments when people have lived exactly like Jesus has called us to live. You know what good looks like, right? You've done it. You've seen it. You know what good looks like when it's defined by God and done in God's name. You know what it looks like. We all do. And so, because of that, I think that most people are doing the best they know how, because good is good and we want to do good. Have y'all heard about this McDonald's thing up in Cincinnati? Have y'all heard about this? This is such a great story. Ready? All right. So there was a mom who had to take her son to football practice. This just happened the other day. And she had a couple of other little kids, like 3 and 5 or something, in tow with her. And so they were cranky because they were hungry. You know how little kids are. So anyway, mama took the kid, the oldest, and dropped him to the football game and was going to go back to the house to put red potatoes on for dinner, she said. And then she made the mistake of telling the kids they were getting red potatoes for dinner. And they didn't want that. So they started crying and saying they wanted McDonald's. We want McDonald's. We want McDonald's. Come on, Mom. We want McDonald's. And so Mom, I think her name was Brittany, she was tired and she was fed up and she was just over this entire day. And so she succumbed to the children's peer pressure to go to the McDonald's drive-thru. It was easier than fighting the battle. Every parent knows this. So she ordered it and went up to the window to pay. And then she realized that she didn't have her wallet on her. She didn't intend to go by the McDonald's. She intended to drop her kids off and go back to the house. And so she didn't think about it. And now the kids are screaming. And she's at the window. And she doesn't have her wallet. And that was it, man. She started crying right there in the drive-thru because some days deserve a good cry. Well, there's a 16-year-old kid who was working the drive-thru window. His name was Wyatt Jones. And Wyatt couldn't stand seeing a mom and her kids in this situation. So he grabbed his wallet out of his back pocket, grabbed his debit card out and slid it real quick and swiped it and problem solved. And mom was like, no, don't do that. And no, it was already too late. It was already paid for. And of course, mom was just overwhelmed by the kindness of this young man. And she promised to pay him back. So when she went back and got her son from football practice, she went by McDonald's and gave Wyatt the money. But come to find out, the young man was working there because he was trying to save up for a car. And the woman caught wind of it and called Wyatt's mom and dad and said, hey, could we start a GoFundMe page to raise money online to get your son some help for getting the car? And apparently the community thought this was a wonderful idea because about $35,000 later, Wyatt had enough money for a car. The city also had Wyatt Jones Day. Someone gave him a new skateboard. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing that just blew up. It was all over the Cincinnati news because people saw goodness in this, man. Good things, loving things. And we know what it looks like when we see it. We've all seen that stuff. You know, we've lived it. We've done it. It's human nature to do good. You know God called us good when we were made, right? You know God called us that. God called us good. God walked with us in the garden in the cool of the evening. That's how much God thinks of us. You don't do that with somebody you don't like. And so it's human nature that we try our hardest to do the best we know how. We really do, and we see it when we care for the community and care for others and do all the wonderful things that Jesus Christ called us to do. When we love God and when we value our neighbor as much as we value ourselves, we do good. We do really, really good stuff, man. But we know that there's another side of the human coin, don't we? We know that sometimes we just miss the mark. We know that sometimes we don't do the things that are right. We know it. It's not a secret. We can talk about it. It's okay. Because here's my point. I think usually we realize that we did wrong after we did it and not during. We can explain good things away and then do bad things and the whole time convince ourselves that we were going the right path anyway. We don't want to walk the wrong path. We want to walk the right way. And so I'll argue that even when we walk afoul of the way that was taught by Jesus Christ, even when we are in the midst of our sinfulness, when we're wrong in how we're living life with others, it's not because we meant to be that thing. We just veer off the road, man. I believe we do it because we thought the road went that way. It might be an illusion. We might have been fooled, but we weren't trying to be evil. We weren't trying to follow the wrong God. Maybe we were protecting ourselves, and so we lashed out. We did it because of that, maybe. But we did it because we were protecting ourselves, right? We didn't mean to do wrong. I don't think it's often that we desire to do evil. Sin is made out to be this big, ugly, hairy monster. I don't know. I think if it was a big, ugly, hairy monster, I wouldn't be tempted. No, when we fall to sin, I think it's usually when we're trying to be right. When we walk afoul, it's not because we meant to. I'm going to use a big, drastic example of this to show you what I'm trying to say and recognize as I go into it that I know that this is a ridiculous example. I get that, but we're going to go through it anyway because it works. You remember Ted Kaczynski, right? The Unabomber? He was the guy that sent all the mail packages like in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and he was sentenced to life in prison like 22 years. This is still current events, though, because it's on Netflix, so we're good. But Kaczynski hurt a lot of people, man, 20-something. He killed 3 people. It was awful. It was terrifying, sinful, evil, whatever you want to call it, you're right. Hugh Scruton was the first to die. He was a computer store owner in Sacramento, California. He walked out in the parking lot. There was a box there that had been shipped to his place. He picked it up. It blew up, and it killed him. Kaczynski's last 2 bombs killed people, too. Thomas Moser was an advertising exec. Kaczynski blamed him for being employed by Exxon during the Exxon Valdez wreck that dumped all that oil in Alaska back in the 80s. The other bomb killed Gilbert Murray, who ran a timber company. It was awful. All of them were. All of Kaczynski's victims were associated with technology somehow, or nature, like a timber company. And that's because Kaczynski hated technology. He hated it. He thought we were fools who were fast-forwarding our way to humankind's demise. He thought it was going to bring an end to humanity. He was worried about it so much that he wrote a manifesto, 40,000 pages in a journal, and tried to bomb people to stop it. He was a little bit obsessed. The thing about it is that Kaczynski was a brilliant mind. He was a mathematician, top rate. He had a PhD in math. He taught at the University of California, Berkeley. You don't get that job unless you know what you're talking about. But somewhere along the line, he got concerned and worried that humanity was going about it all wrong. And so he took steps to stop it with bombs and such that killed people and maimed people and caused such it was all terribly wrong. But here's my point. As wrong as that man was, as he is wrong, as horrific as his actions were, as broken as his mind had to be to rationalize things, here's the thing about it. Even he thought he was right. Even he thought he was right. He thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was saving the world. He thought the world needed people to stop this kind of stuff from happening, and he was going to be the one that did it. Now, I'm not letting people off the hook. Kaczynski's not a good guy who did some bad things, and it's not his fault. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that we're all capable of being fooled. And this is just one drastic example. We're all capable of walking the wrong way when we're just positive that we're heading exactly where we think we ought to be. That's part of being human. And that part can go terribly wrong sometimes. Sometimes on a big scale like that, but it can go wrong just simply in our lives too. Look at the scripture again that we read. Before I read it the other day, I always thought about these terrible, horrible Israelites in the desert acting an absolute fool. Here God had been so incredibly good to them, amazing to them, loving them. God had rescued them. God had cared for them. God had given manna in the desert for them. God had pulled water out of a rock for them. And so I could never figure out why they were just starting to build other gods for themselves out in the middle of the desert just because they wanted to. I thought they were consciously choosing against God, and I wondered how dare them? How could they not have known every single thing God had ever done for them? That's how I'd always taken it. That's how I always read this golden calf scripture. But then I read this scripture again this week, and I noticed something very, very different. I noticed something I'd never noticed before, and it's right there in front of us for us to see, and I don't know how I didn't see it. But here's what I got. The people who demanded a God, they didn't mean to walk afoul of the God. In fact, if you read again, it seems that like they were trying to honor God. Can you bring it back, those sections for me, Alex, real fast? I want to read them. I want you to look at this. When the people saw that Moses delayed in coming down from the mountain, the people gathered around him and to Aaron and said to him, "Come make gods for us." I'm going to talk about this in a minute. That gods is the exact same word they use for the God. Come make gods for us who shall go before us, just like God had done in the desert, right? The man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. So Aaron said to them, "Take off the gold that are on your ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, all that kind of stuff, bring them to me." And he took the gold, formed it in a mold, cast it in the image, and said, "These are your Eloh God that brought you out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw this, he built an altar and made a proclamation saying, "Tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord." They weren't trying to be wrong. It says they didn't know what happened to Moses. It said they didn't realize that what happened to Moses, and they knew that they still needed God. And since Moses was still up on that mountain, I guess he got ate by a tiger. We don't know what happened to him. Well, Aaron, help us, please. We need God right now, man. We're out in the middle of the desert. The word they said when they said they wanted God is the same word for the God, Elohim. That's the God, and that's what they said they wanted. They just wanted God made for them again, man. They didn't know they were trying to replace God. God just felt absent. And so they tried to form a God because they knew they needed God that much. Aaron, make this for us. Moses has abandoned us. Please, you do it. But the problem is that when you make your own God, you make the rules about that God. And when we make the rules, we tend to get them wrong. But still, Aaron did it. He made a mold from the calf, and then he told all the people to put the gold into the mold and then stuck it on the fire. He melted it and formed it, and then when he brought it out, he set it down and made an altar to it. And tomorrow we will have a festival to the Lord. That Lord, by the way, is Yahweh. The Lord, that's the same God that brought them out of Egypt, and we're going to build a worship that God, except this time we're going to change what it looks like. See, I don't think Aaron thought he was doing anything wrong. I don't think he would have done it otherwise, but he was wrong. He tried to make a God in the image of gods he'd known before. He didn't wait for the God who rescues, but made a God out of their wealth, and that never, ever works out well. He went from Yahweh to his way, and that's not the way to go about it either. And if you follow the wrong God, the God of gold maybe, whatever it is, you can bet that that God is going to teach you to walk the wrong path. But it won't look wrong, especially when we think it's the Lord showing us the path all along anyway. The wrong gods do that to us. They lead us down the wrong path and we never even realize it. But Aaron didn't know that. He thought he was doing right all along. You know, here's the thing about it is, Aaron, what he wanted to do, he wanted to give God credit. That's it. That's what he wanted to do, isn't it? He wanted to live in this world so that we're giving the right God credit, the one that made us, the one that called us good. But sometimes, I guess, we all have a temptation to make that golden calf instead. I don't know if that's what this story is about. That's what this story is about to me. It's that sometimes I get fooled and I walk the wrong way because I thought it was right all along. But church, what I came up with this morning to say is this. I want to quit sweating, number one. But I want to give the right God credit. That's what I want to do, man. I want to give the right God credit because I know what God's done for me. Man, God's given me life. I breathe because God breathed the breath of life into my lungs. God has given me life and joy. God's given me a family. God's given me my dog. You know, my dog lays his head over me and looks at me with those eyes, and you don't tell me that there's not a beautiful God in this world. I can think. I can imagine. I can create. I can laugh. Is there anything better than laughter? God saved me, man. When I could have been left as I was, God didn't let that happen and allowed me to be something else so that I could be what I was designed to be. I can care and I can help and I can meet people, man. I can meet wonderful people who are nothing like me. Life is so rich and full. And God made it that way. And when we live like God calls us to live, we can experience it just like that. And I, for one, want to give the right God thanks for that. You know, I want us all to worship the God that did that for me and did that for you. Not the gods who do all that other stuff. Those other gods make us have greed and envy and hate and all that gross stuff that we're told is absolutely the best thing to have. But I want to give the right God thanks instead. I want to wait as long as I need to, even when God feels absent to me, so that I can worship the right God no matter what. I don't want to be wrong, man. None of us do. None of us here today do. We all want to follow God. Amen. I don't have any advice on how to do that other than what I've said 100 times. Read the Bible, pray, be in church. Those are easy. We all know those. We do those. All I guess I have is this example to remind us that all those people who think they're getting it wrong, well, they're probably trying to do it for the right reasons. That ought to create some humility in us in all this. That is, if they're wrong at all, maybe we're the wrong ones that are wrong, and we're trying to do it for the right reasons too. Who knows? And if we know that, maybe we can just be real careful. Maybe we can just be real, real careful, because the one thing that is more important than anything else is making sure we follow the right God. Not the gods we create when we're looking for a God, but the one that's there, the one that made you, the one that made every single person in this room and every person we'll ever meet. That's my prayer for us, that we always worship the God that deserves it. That we are given by God the humility to know that we don't always have it right, even when we think we do. I pray we're given the courage to find the right path when we walk the wrong one. And I pray that we have God's strength to walk in God's way when other gods try to lure us away. There's only one God, church. There's only one ruler. Only one over us that matters. And we know what it feels like when we live in that God's way. We know it. We know it, man. So may we do it always. And when we do, to make God be the glory. And all of God's people said, amen. We have one more song, and I'm going to find a beach towel to get the sweat off of me. Sorry. It will lead us to one more. God bless you. Thank you.
Creation's revealing your majesty. from the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring. Every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, all shock, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Who has told every lightning bolt where it should go, or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow? Who imagined the sun and gives source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the darkness of night? None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Incomparable, unchangeable, you see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God.
Absolutely beautiful. Thank you all so much for allowing us to worship the y'all's music. A couple of prayer requests, or several prayer requests, have come in. First, and this is something going on in the church that is just heartbreaking. Joyce Alamore called me yesterday, and we asked him comfort for the family and friends of Rebecca Gonzalez. This is the daughter of Jackie Alamore. This is Steve and Joyce's daughter-in-law. Jackie's daughter, Rebecca, died of a sudden death, and the services will be in West Virginia on Monday. Now I think Jackie and Steve are traveling up there today. So please keep that family in your prayers. Send cards, love, however you can. So that's just an awful situation. And much love to Jackie in such a difficult time. Continued prayers for Mary Ann Coleman, Kim and Rain, and I think Steve Alamore is still traveling, so keep him in prayers if he is still traveling. I think he is. Amy Bryan put in Tim Parsons, someone that I believe does some work with that family. He broke his back falling off a ladder the other day, or falling off something the other day, and so we need to be in prayer for them. Regina Baker started chemo for stage 4 lung cancer just the other day. Praise for beautiful singing and playing today. So you all, thank you all so much for that. And then prayers for James, and looking forward to having him back here in a few weeks. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for this morning? Yeah, Jackie?
The family of Travis Branham.
Can you spell the last name for me?
B-R-A-N-N-O-M.
Branham. The family of Travis Branham. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
My friend, Kasago Mugu, was taken to the hospital this morning. His wife found him. Could not wake him. Not sure what it is, but he's currently on a ventilator in Rutherford County Hospital. And then also a young woman with 2 young children. She's now a single mom, Kara Molitar, to support her in prayer.
Kara, you said?
Kara.
Kara. Keep Kara in our prayers. Are there others this morning? Yes, Suzanne. I'm sorry, Mary. Go ahead.
Shelby and Paul,
yeah. Keep them in our prayers. How are they doing?
Not good.
Not good. So sorry. We keep it in our prayers. Suzanne, yeah? Yeah, Suzanne works with a doctor, the Watson, he's Dr. Watson, and their baby, and he's the baby's very young, right?
She's like 3 weeks old.
Yeah, 3 weeks old and needs a heart transplant, and so we need to keep that family. And then Cynthia Lucas has been on our long-term prayer list. We need to keep in prayer for Cynthia. Are there others this morning?
Your mom.
Yeah. Are there others? Yeah, I covered your prayers right now. Grandmother and mom both have COVID. They both tested, I think grandma's tested positive, but she is positive. Mom has. Grandmother's not, she was up today eating breakfast. I was happy to hear that, but had a 102 degree temperature last night and a very deep cough. So please keep her in your prayers. And then mom is just absolutely worn out and can't care for grandmother, which, you know, that's the whole challenge in that. And so I would just really appreciate your prayers. You've got somebody asked about Leo. Leo is feeling much better. He's in the hotel still in Idaho with COVID, but he's really getting on the mend. So that's wonderful news. Let's go to God in prayer if we can. Lord, we thank you that we can bow down to you, bow down to your altar in my mind, on our minds, in person, kneel beside our beds, whatever it is, Lord, that we feel like we need to do with our physical bodies. We know that what we can do is be with you and to take all of these pains and these struggles, our joys, our hurts, everything we have, we can lay it at your feet, recognizing that you love us and that you'll be there with us in this, in whatever way that you know is right to be. You know, we know that you may call us to put legs on our prayers and call us to go into the world and do things. But even if that's the case, we know that you're walking beside us in every single moment. And God, we thank you for that. So we ask that you remind us as we turn to you in prayer to always turn to the right God in prayer. Always be searching you out in everything we do. Always be looking for you and identifying those things about you that we know are right and good. When we found love and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and all those things, Lord, we know we found you. And so we ask you to show us that where it is in this world. We ask these things, Lord, because we desperately need you in every way. And we pray this through your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Church, go in love, go in joy, go in peace, go in grace, and go in mercy, and go knowing this God that we love is amazing and will walk with us in every single way. And Lord, release us from this place, but never from you. And all of God's people said, amen. It is good to see you. I still won't shake your hands and hug you, but like I said, when we get the vaccine, we're having a big thing and we're all hugging. So that's just that's where we're going with it. So love you all. God bless. Thank you.